the mitzvah of Tchum Shabbos, which is in this week's parsha. It's not a mitzvah, it's a lo tase. There is an area beyond which a person is prohibited from walking on Shabbos. That's pretty straightforward. Everything else around it is difficult. And I admit up front, you know, we'll do our best. Everything else around it is difficult, and I'll lay out three areas. The first is, it's not at all clear, despite psukim in this week's parsha, that it's min haTorah. Okay, for sure there's a prohibition, and for sure it's midrabanan, but there's a unique question of whether it's midoraisa or not. And the question of whether Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa or not leads us into, you know, something we've seen over and over again, although maybe never as clearly as today, is sometimes it's just hard to tell. There are Gemaros that quote Psukim, and our instinct is, well, anytime the Gemara quotes a Pasuk, well, if it's a Pasuk, then obviously, you know, the mitzvah must be Min HaTorah. But there's a bunch of Gemaros on Tchum Shabbos, and they lead us in opposite directions. And as we've seen before, and as we'll see again, but it's worth pointing out, the fact that you see a pasuk quoted in connection with a mitzvah does not necessarily mean that the mitzvah is min haTorah. There are many, many drashos, and many times the Gemara quotes psukim, and it's just an asmachta. It's just to tell us, you know, that there's some kind of basis for it, but not to tell us that it's min haTorah. Something unique about Tchum Shabbos, and this will lead us in another direction, is even if you already...
The problem is, you know, maybe in those days when the Israel got in the first time to Israel, into Israel, maybe, but today we go all over like an Efrat. We can go any place you want to. So why do we have this of not we can't go? We can do it all the time.
So I have a great idea. Why don't I give a shiur on this exact topic, and let's see. Let's see if I answer any of your questions or not. Okay? Here we go. So I'll work in Irving's question also, which I want to answer, which is, Efrat is a really, really big place. It's a few kilometers from end to end, maybe even more. Anybody know? What's it from gate to gate? Does anybody know? Okay, doesn't matter.
Like 9 kilometers if you're going
to
jog.
9 kilometers, maybe less, but we'll come back to that. But even if it was more, we have to answer Irving's question of, okay, what exactly, I'll tell you this. As far as I know, Manhattan is 12 miles long. I guess that's 16 or 17 kilometers from end to end. Let's say this, the halacha is clear. You could walk all of Manhattan on a Shabbos. And again, so you have the same question, which is what happened to Tchum Shabbos? And what kind of halacha is Tchum Shabbos? Let's put it this way. If you could walk, you know, 17 kilometers across Manhattan, and Manhattan's not such a big city, it's clear that Tchum Shabbos is not a din in exercise and not really a din in resting, right? There must be something else going on with respect to Tchum Shabbos. But let me come back to the previous question I was going to ask, which is most of us know, and if you don't, I'm telling you now, that even if you think that Tchum Shabbos is a biblical prohibition, it's not one of the Lamites Malachos. It's not a Malacha. Nobody thinks that Tchum Shabbos is one of the 39 Malachos. So the question, another interesting question we want to discuss is, what does it mean for something to be a biblical prohibition on Shabbos, but for it not to be one of the Lamites Malachos? Okay, and the last topic we'd like to discuss is the philosophy part, right? You know, what does it mean that the Torah can let you walk, you know, 30 kilometers across a big city, but won't let you, you know, walk from one city to another. Okay. It, by the way, I think from Ephrat. No, I could be wrong. I was going to say from Ephrat to Gilo. It's not that far. Okay, maybe we'll come back to it. Maybe we don't. Let's start with this week's parsha and just figure out what the headquarters for this discussion is in the Torah. And the answer is it's in this week's parsha. And here we go. Towards the end of the parsha, Moshe has just told Bnei Yisrael the good news. Free food is available every morning. It's called man. Okay, and it's interesting that the introduction of man and the introduction of Shabbos are kind of the same. So remember the rules of man. You can only eat an omer a day. You're not allowed to pick more than an omer. And you're not allowed to leave off, except for Friday. Okay? And Moshe introduces Shabbos by way of the man. And he says, Vayomer Moshe, ichluhu hayom. Ki Shabbat Hayom Lashem, Hayom Lo Timtzauhu Basadeh. Normally, you're not allowed to leave over the man for the next day. But Moshe says to them, no, today is Shabbos. You're allowed to leave over the man for today because the man doesn't fall on Shabbos. Again, it's not clear whether the man fell or not, or they just couldn't collect it on Shabbos. Rather, says Moshe, Sheshet Yamim Tilkituhu, 6 days you gather man. But on the seventh day, on Shabbos, there is no man. Nevertheless, in a kind of depressing pasuk, next pasuk, Vayhi bayom hashvi'i yatzu min ha'am lilkot v'lo matzau. Moshe specifically, explicitly told them, don't go out on Shabbos, there won't be any man. And some portion of Israel did it anyway, and there was no man. And I left it separated because there are two different paragraphs in the Torah. And, you know, it's always a question what the relationship between paragraphs are. But here it seems that it's a continuation. Pasuk Chavchet, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ad ana me'antem lishmor mitzvotai v'torotai. For how long are the Jews going to reject my Torah? What did they do? So the way I read it at least is, well, Moshe told them not to go out and pick man on Shabbos, and they did it anyway. And God says as follows, Re'u ki Hashem natan lochem ha-Shabbat, God gave you the Shabbos, al kein hu noten lochem bayom ha-shishi lechem yomayim. For that reason, God gives you a double portion of man. Right, Lechem Mishneh, obviously that's one of the sources for why we eat Lechem Mishneh on Shabbos. God gave us an extra portion on Friday. Now the psukim we need. Shivu ish tachtav. Everybody sit where they are. Al yetze ish mimekomo bayom ha-shivi. Nobody go out on Shabbos. And then good news, Vayishbitu ha'am bayom ha-shivi'i. This they obeyed, and they stayed where they were on the seventh day. Now, if I tell you these are the sources, Pasuk Chavtet is the source for the prohibition of Tchum Shabbos. It's the only Pasuk in the Torah. I'm exaggerating a tiny bit, but let's assume this is the only portion in the Torah. Does anybody see does anybody see the concept of Tchum Shabbos here? Or let's ask it a different way. I see two ways to read this pasuk. One has nothing to do with Tchum Shabbos. Second is, could at least be argued, has to do with Tchum Shabbos. Anybody see it? Okay, then I'll talk. Here's what I see.
Is not doing things like, you know.
I would say one simple way to read, at least one way I see it, is has nothing to do with Tchum Shabbos. This is a story about the man in the Midbar. And God didn't want the Jews going out on Shabbos to collect the man. So God says, Shvu ish tachtav, everybody stay in the camp. Al yetze ish mi mekomo bayom ashvi, nobody go out on Shabbos. But it's part of the story of the man in the Midbar, in which case, you know, it would not serve as a precedent for any dinim of Tchum Shabbos.
Again, it was only to do with the man.
Right. Or, if man started falling again, so we'd say, okay, we learned from here that you can't collect man on Shabbos. But man doesn't fall anymore, and it's not going to. And so one reading is, okay, this is a story about the man. I guess the other reading is, no, it looks like a story about the man, but it's really much broader. And we're supposed to understand this not just as a narrow halacha in the Midbar, that the Jews weren't allowed to leave the camp to collect the man. We're supposed to understand it as a broader halacha going forward, that God wants us to stay in our place, right? There's what seems like a mitzvah saseh, shvu ish tachtav. Everybody stay where they are. Al yetze ish mimekomo bayom ashvi. Nobody leave his place on the seventh day. Now, if it's a source, if it's to be read more broadly, and it's a source generally for Shabbos, so of course, then we need some interpretation. Because, you know, nobody thinks you're not allowed to leave your house on Shabbos. Well, right? So nobody thinks you're not allowed to get up on Shabbos. Of course, there's something, so we would need some interpretation. But at least we would have a source for some prohibition of traveling on Shabbos.
I think Sadukim generally stayed on their private property. They didn't leave their for that reason. They took it quite literally.
Well, you know, that's what they do. Okay, so Rashi gives us his view right away. Source number two, on the Pesukim, Shvu ish tachtav, says Rashi, Mikan samchu chachamim arba amot liyotze chutz l'tchum. Rashi says there are two clauses here that we have to learn. The first one, Shvu ish tachtav, that means if you're outside of the tchum on Shabbos, you have dalet amos. That, in fact, is the halacha. Right? You don't have to stand still. If for whatever reason you violated Tchum Shabbos, you're not allowed to travel anymore. So Rashi says, no, the halacha gives you, what does it mean, ish tachtav? It means every person has his own space, so you have dalet amos. But the next Rashi is more important. Al yetze ish mimekomo, says Rashi, elu alpayim ama shel Tchum Shabbos. This is a reference to the 2,000 amos that constitute Tchum Shabbos. Now Rashi says, v'lo b'meforash, but let's be clear, the pasuk isn't explicitly talking about Tchum Shabbos. She'ein tchumim ela midivrei sofrim. Rashi immediately says the whole concept of Tchum Shabbos is only midrabanan. V'ikaro shel mikra al lokte haman ne'emar. And the simple reading of the pasuk has to do with people collecting man. So here, we'll take a minute to analyze this Rashi because I think it's fascinating. Rashi says, what's the source for a prohibition to walk more than 2,000 amos outside of the Tchum on Shabbos? It's the pasuk of Al Yetze Ish Mimekomo Bayom HaShivi'i. But at the same time, Rashi acknowledges that that's probably not what the pasuk means. The pasuk tells us a halacha relevant to collecting man in the Midbar. But reading between the lines, Rashi says Chazal borrowed a pasuk, took it out of its context to establish a rabbinic prohibition on walking outside the Tchum more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos. And so I find this fascinating. It's not cheating. It's not like Chazal, God forbid, were misleading us. It's their job. Chazal, the way I understand Rashi is as follows. The pasuk says the Jews should not go outside to collect man on Shabbos. That's all it means. But Chazal understand from this that God doesn't want us working and doesn't want us traveling on Shabbos. So Chazal decided on an amount of, you know, on a distance, 2,000 amos. To be clear, we think an amma, just because I keep using it, so I'll make two points. One is, we think an amma is about 20 inches, which makes it I guess, which makes it a little less than 2 feet. We think 2,000 amos is about a kilometer. Okay? Give or take. So that's the first thing to know. The second thing to know is Tchum Shabbos is only calculated from outside of the place you live. So again, in Efrat, let's just assume, in almost any city, you can walk the limits of the city, and Tchum Shabbos kicks in once, you know, anything which is in within any house that's within 70 amos of the city is part of the city. Okay, so let's just assume for our purposes, either because there's an Erev around it or otherwise, that within Efrat you can walk the whole distance. And Tchum Shabbos starts as soon as you leave the gate. So for argument's sake, you have a kilometer to walk, midrabanan, beyond the city limits of wherever you live. Okay, those are just the facts. So again, we saw two readings of the psukim in this week's parasha. One is it has nothing to do with Tchum Shabbos. It's just a din in the man. The second is, no, it's establishing something for the future. And Rashi basically says both are true. The story is only about the man, but Chazal use it as a source for a rabbinic prohibition of Tchum Shabbos. Now, that's just Rashi's reading of Psukim, but obviously Rashi knows a gazillion Gemaras that we don't. There's one Gemara that's why there's a bunch of Gemaras, and it's too much to quote them all, but there's one Gemara that's widely quoted as the source for Tchum Shabbos. That's source number 3. Gemara in Erevin, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, says as follows. Gemara asks, Hani Alpaim Ama Heichan Ksivan. Where does it say any place in the Torah that you can't walk more than 2,000 amos? Now, the way it sounds, the simple reading is, the Gemara is asking, how do you know that 2,000 amos is a Torah prohibition? And the Gemara answers, Ditanya, Shivu Ish Tachtav. Right? Our Pasuk, you have to stay in your place. So the drasha there is Elu Arba Amos. That's if you're outside of Tchum Shabbos, you're limited to Dalet Amos. Al Yetze Ish Mimakamo, the second clause, Elu Alpaim Amo. This is the source for a Torah prohibition of walking 2,000 Amos outside of the Tchum. Wait, Minalan, ask them, where it says Al Yetze Ish Mimakamo, but how do I know that's 2,000 Amos? Amar of Chizda. No, Rav Chizda says, here's the limud, and hold on to your hats. Lamanu makom min makom u makom min nisa vin nisa min nisa vin nisa migvul u gvul migvul u gvul michutz v'chutz michutz. Okay, just to give you a sense, it's a quadruple, I guess you would call it gezeira shava. The Gemara is saying the word makom appears in two places, so that connects two places that say makom. Then the word nisa appears in two places. The word nisa appears in a pasuk that says makom, so it gets you to another nisa, etc., etc. What's really going in? First of all, let's just make a general comment. You look at this; it's hard to argue that this is a deoraisa source. It just doesn't seem serious. It's, you know, the Gemara says, "How do you know that 2,000 amos is Tchum Shabbos min haTorah?" Well, there's four psukim that have the word makom and nisa and gvul and chutz, and that's how we learn it. Dichsiv, and just we'll read the last pasuk, umadosem michutz la'ir es pa'as kedmo alpaim bo'ama. I'll just, so we don't spend too much time on this, I'll just tell you what I understand. What's going in is as follows. A person who killed Bishogeg cannot leave the Ir Miklat. But the Torah gives him 2,000 amos outside of the Ir Miklat. And how do you know that? Because the Torah tells you that a city includes, you know, the Torah has like urban planning. And the Torah says the Arei Leviim are of this size. And then there's 2,000 amos outside of the city that you're not supposed to build in that are part of the city. So essentially, the Gemara's limud is whenever the Torah says, Al yetze ish mimekomo, it means 2,000 amos. By the way, I'm having second thoughts on what I told you is what 2,000 amos. If somebody wants to just Google it now while I talk, all of a sudden I'm thinking 2,000 amos is 2 kilometers, not one. That broadly speaking, we think that 1,000 kilometers.
Approximately 2/3 of a mile.
Do it in kilometers, but I think we think halacha l'maaseh, if it's 2/3 of a mile, I'm probably right. Right? 2/3 of a mile is a kilometer. So yeah,
2,000 cubits is about is approximately a kilometer. That's correct.
1 kilometer, not two?
One.
Okay, good. Okay, so again, the Gemara gives us a source for 2,000 amos being a biblical prohibition. But it's hard, again, I'm just saying it's hard to take it seriously, given that it's a quadruple gzeira shava that's not very compelling. So it's possible to say, no, this is the source for it being d'oraisa. And it's possible to say, no, this is clearly a rabbinic creation. And it uses psukim to sort of, you know, have some kind of basis upon which to say that it's 2,000 amos, but you can't take it literally. Okay, all this to get us to the Shitas HaRambam. And it's one of the most fascinating Rambams because it seems obvious that the Rambam changed his mind. And that's what all, you know, whenever you have, there are two major sources for halachos in the Rambam. Chronologically, the first is the Sefer HaMitzvos that we, you know, more or less we base ourselves on, because if you have a shir on Sefer HaMitzvos, so you start with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. But it's much more of a creative work than a halachic work. The Yad HaChazaka, which the Rambam wrote after he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos more or less served as an introduction to the Yad HaChazaka. The way the Rambam presents it, we'll take a 30-second historical break for a second, but it's fascinating. The way I imagine it and the way the Rambam presents it is, okay, he decided, you know, to write a staggering work, a work that encompasses all halachos across the board. So the Rambam sat down in front of a blank piece of paper, and he said to himself, well, I need some framework. How am I going to know what I forgot? I need a framework within which to write all the halachos in the Torah. And so the Rambam said to himself, you know what? First, I'll write Taryag Mitzvos as an introduction to the Yad HaChazaka. First, I'll write a work that encompasses all the mitzvos min HaTorah. And then I'll write the halachos surrounding them and broaden it out and write something that encompasses Kol HaTorah Kula. Okay? So here's the Rambam on our mitzvah. Mitzvah slo tase shin chaf aleph, source number 4 on the sheet. Vaha mitzvah shin chaf aleph hi shehizhiranu shelo lahalech chutz l'tchum ha-medina b'shabbat. We are prohibited, again, min ha-Torah, because this is a sefer ha-mitzvos, from leaving chutz l'tchum ha-medina. Leaving, I don't know, the city in which we, the city boundaries in which we live. Vahu amaro ar pasuk. Al yetze ish mimekamo b'yom ha-shivi'i. Now, the Rambam understands, it doesn't really say it, and the pasuk says, Uba ha-kabbalah, and the accepted perish of the pasuk is, shegvul ha-halicha shehi asura, the distance beyond which it's prohibited to walk, mashen nosef, nosaf al-alpayim ama chutz min ha-minida, v'afilu ama achat. Says the Rambam, the accepted pshat may be based on the Gemara we saw in Erevin, is you can't walk more than 2,000 amos outside of the city, you know, the city limit. But the Rambam says, again, it's not like you could walk in one direction 2,000 amos, says the Rambam. You could walk in 4 directions 2,000 amos, right? You get from each side of the town 2,000 amos. And by the way, that includes on the same Shabbos. So you could walk 2,000 amos past the north gate of Ephrat, and you can walk 2,000 amos past the south gate of Efrat on the same Shabbos. V'lashon mechilta, al yetzei, says the Rambam, it's not me, the mechilta, the Midrash Halach says, al yetzei ish mimikamo, elu alpaim ama, ubigemara, a different gemara in Ervin Amru, lokin al isurei tchumim dvar Torah. So says the Rambam, 2,000 amos is an iser de oraisa. If you walk more than 2,000 amos outside of the tchum, you are in violation of a biblical prohibition. Okay, seems clear, and the Rambam has sources to support it. Now, you go to the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam's halachic work. And here he says something different. He says, Hayotzei chutz l'tchum ha-medina b'shabbat lokeh. Okay, there's a biblical prohibition to walk outside of the tchum, because it says, Shenema al yetzei ish mimekomo b'yom ha-shivi. Makom zehu tchum ha-ir. Okay? You get 2,000 amos. Now, no, he doesn't say you get 2,000. He says you can't walk beyond the city. Now, v'lo natna Torah shi'ur l'tchum zeh. He says, let's be clear. In the Torah, it doesn't say how far you get. Aval chachamim he'etiku she'tchum zehu chutz l'shneim asar mil k'neged machane Yisrael. He has a different drasha. Here he says it's not 2,000 amos, it's 12 mil, which is 12,000 amos. Okay, now where does 12,000 amos come from? So the Rambam says, based on other
biblical sources, versus the rabbinic.
No, you have obviously there's no a biblical verse is biblical by definition, as you well know, but sometimes a biblical verse requires a rabbinic interpretation. Right, again. We all understand, even if the pasuk clearly means al yetzei ish mimekomo means tchum Shabbos, we still need to know what does mikomo mean. So the Rambam here says mikomo means 12,000 mil. Where does that come from? Says the Rambam, we have b'Kabbalah that the size of the camp of the Jews in the Midbar happened to be 12 mil, or 12,000 amos.
Ellie, correction. According to what I just looked up, a mil is 2,000 amma, not 1,000 amma.
Ah, and that's why I got it. Okay, good.
Okay, so that, you know, and there's 3 day old.
Right. So it's 12 3 day times. Old,
like whether it's, you know, whether it's 912 meters or 960, or according to the Chazon Ish is 1,150, but just keep in mind that it's mil to 2,000, not to 1,000.
Okay, good. But at least I was on for something. Okay.
Right.
So that's 2,000 amos is 1 mil. So you more or less, so 1 kilometer. So Tchum Shabbos, at least Midrabanan, is 1,000, is 1 kilometer. But here the Rambam says, no, it's 12 mil, which is 12 kilometers. Again, where does he get it from? So he gets it from the size of the Jewish encampment in the Midbar. And why it works so beautifully is he says, V'kach amay lohem Moshe Rabbeinu, lo teitzu chutz l'machaneh. You can't leave the camp. So it's a great limud. What the Rambam here has done, and it's not him, it's other sources, but the Rambam has done is he's connected the context with the halacha. We've been struggling with this, right? The narrative in this week's parsha is about not going out to collect man, not about Tchum Shabbos. So the Rambam says, no, but they're connected. When God said, don't go out to collect man, he was saying it lidoros, forever. And how far is it? Well, what he was saying was, you could walk the entire distance of the encampment on Shabbos. Now, again, I always have this question, which is, did the man fall in only one place? Right? Like if the man fell in the south and you were in the north of the camp, so did you have to walk really, really far to get it? Or if the man fell in the east and you were in the west of the camp? I don't have an answer to this question. But the sense you get is, okay, the whole camp is 12 mil. And 12 mil becomes the amount that you can walk on any Shabbos. min haTorah. Now the Rambam continues, mi divrei sofrim shelo yetzei adam chutz la'ir elo ad alpayim mama. Here the Rambam says, no. Mi d'oraisa, you get 12 mil, which is 24,000 amos. Okay, 12 kilometers. But mi d'rabbanan, you get 2,000 ama, which is 1 kilometer. Aval chutz la'alpayim ama asur, she'alpayim ama hu migrash ha'ir. Okay, because a city is defined to include 2,000 amos outside of it. So here the Rambam presents two different positions. The Rambam is clear. Tchum Shabbos is Mida Oraisa, just like the Rambam said in the Sefer HaMitzvos. But unlike the Sefer HaMitzvos, here the Rambam says Mida Oraisa, you get 24,000 kilometers. Mida Rabbanan, you get 24,000 amos equals to 12 kilometers. Midirabbanan, you get 2,000 amos equals to 1 kilometer. Okay? So, obviously, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam only quoted one distance, and that was 2,000 amos. And here he's quoting two distances. 24,000 amos midoraisa, 2,000 amos midirabbanan. It's inconsistent. So some people claim, again, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam's not really giving you the halacha. He's just giving you the concept, so he wasn't so careful. The other possibility is, no, the Rambam changed his mind. Originally, he thought 2,000 amos was the distance min haTorah, and he changed his mind, and in the Yad HaChazaka, he wrote 2,000 amos is midirabbanan, 24,000 amos is min haTorah. One more halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam says, nimtzas lamed. We now learn the following. Shemutar la adam bishabbat la haloch et kol ha'ir kula afilu haita kininve. The Rambam says the first thing we now understand is that Tchum Shabbos is not really a distance that you're not allowed to walk beyond, right? It's not an exercise halacha. You can walk the entire distance of Ninve, and what's a big city? You could walk all of Tel Aviv. You could walk all of Yerushalayim. Says the Ram, this is not a din in the mechitza. This is not a din in an Eruv. It has nothing to do with an Eruv. It has to do with the distance of the city. These are technicalities that we're not going to get into, but Tchum Shabbos isn't exactly 2,000 amos in any distance. You basically make a square around the city, like a geographic square, a map around the city, and you could walk 2,000 amos. It means sometimes you get to walk more than 2,000 amos, sometimes less. Kideshia niskarat hazaviyot. Right, you have to sort of collect a. You know, I don't know, straighten out the corners. Bim yatsa chutz la'alpayim ama makino to makat mardut. If you go more than 2,000 amos, you get makos midirabbanan ad shnei masar mil until 12 mil. Aval em yirtzeh im yatsa v'hirchik min ha'ir yeter al shnei masar mil afilu ama achat lo kemin haTorah. Again, the two standards that we've seen in the Rambam. 2,000 amos is midirabbanan. 24,000 amos equals to 12 mil, equals to 12 kilometers, is min haTorah. Okay? So, I guess the shitos are as follows. Well, you know, let's do the Ramban, and then we'll summarize. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban says as follows, based on what the Rambam said. V'zeh vadai ta'ut. V'kitzur b'ma'amar hazeh. It says, when the Rambam says that Tchum Shabbos is d'oraisa, he's wrong. Now, again, this goes back. It's hard to do it in our context because we haven't seen all the Gemaras. But this is a classic machlokas. The machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban is, there are a bunch of Gemaras, and some Gemaras seem to imply that Tchum Shabbos is d'oraisa, and some seem to imply that it's d'rabbanan. There's no real proofs here. So says the Ramban, it's true there's a Gemara that implies that Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa. But he says, She'eluhem divrei Rabbi Akiva, Damar alpaim ama Doraisa, ve'ein halacha kimoto. The Ramban says, you're right. Rabbi Akiva holds Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa. But we don't paskin like him. Aval b'chiburo ha'gadol, he says, but in the Yad HaChazaka, Hoda, the Rambam admits, shall paim amami divrei sofrim, that it's only drabanan. Aval amar shegvul ha'nisiyah min ha'tara shalosh parsaot keneged machane Yisrael, that's 12 mil. He says, nismoch bohu uktsat ha'rishonim ala Yerushalmi. He says, the Rambam has a source in the Yerushalmi. What does it say there? Sha'am Rab Shim Bar Bisna B'Shem Rabbi Asa Ein Lecha Mechuva Mikulam Ela Tchum Shabbos Tchum Shnei Masamil Kinegan Machane Yisrael. He says, the Rambam's right. There's a Yerushalmi that says that Tchum Shabbos is 12 mil. He says, V'gam Ze Eino Nachon She'eino Kiderecha Talmud Shalanu. He says, it's fine that the Yerushalmi says that, but the Bavli doesn't. There is no reference, says the Ramban, to 12 mil in the Bavli. It's interesting. The Ramban refers to the Bavli as Talmudenu, right? Like our Gemara. The Yerushalmi is not our Gemara. So he says the Ram's wrong. All you have in our Gemara is 2,000 amos, which is the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, and the Rabbanan disagree with him. So it's a fundamental machlokes. The Ramban says that Tchum Shabbos is completely midrabanan. 12 mil is made up. It's a Yerushalmi that we don't paskin like. You're right. He says there's an Issud Rabbanan to go more than 2,000 amos outside of the city. For the Rambam, there's an Issud Rabbanan to go more than 2,000 amos, but there's an Issud D'oraisa to go 12 mil. And it's all based, and again, it's not so satisfying to do it this way, but it's all based on how you read a range of Gemaras. You know, when you ask yourself, how could there be a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether the Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa or the Rabbanan, you know, we've sort of seen it. Well, there's a pasuk in this week's parsha in the context of the man that may or may not serve as a source for the biblical prohibition of Tchum Shabbos. Everybody agrees that the pasuk in this week's parasha teaches us that there's supposed to be some limit to how far you can travel on Shabbos. But for the Ramban and most other Rishonim, it's a limud midrabanan. Meaning it's not in the pasuk, it's not Doraisa, but Chazal understood that this is the will of the Torah, so they prohibited it. But for the Rambam, no, that's exactly what the Pasuk means. And presumably, the Rambam connects the 12 mil to the size of the Machane Yisrael in the Midbar, right? That makes it much more of a halachic source because it's not just an asmachta. In the context of don't go out to pick man, well, how far can you walk? The answer is 12 mil. Okay, so I just, sort of in terms of how you see halacha and how you learn sources, I find this fascinating that there really is no answer. The Rambam seems to have sources to support him. The Ramban certainly has sources to support him. And if you go back to the original Rashi's we saw on this week's parasha, Rashi's clear that it's drabanan. He thinks it's all a limud that Chazal learned out from the psukim. But again, I want to make clear, that's Chazal's job. They're not misleading us. Chazal look at the din and say God didn't want Jews going out of the machane to collect man on Shabbos. That must be God's will going forward. It's not just an understanding about man. It must be that God doesn't want us traveling far from a city on Shabbos. Okay? And the Sefer Achinuch on this mitzvah in source number 7, mitzvah Chaf Dalet, says simply, Mishar She Mitzvah Zo, what's the rationale for the mitzvah? She Nizkar V'Neida She Ha'olam Mechudash V'Lo Kadmon. Says the Chinuch, it's related to all of the prohibitions on Shabbos. Why do we keep Shabbos? To remind us of the fact that the world was created. It didn't, God forbid, pre-exist God. God created the world. Kimo She Katu B'Feyush B'Mitzvat Shabbat, ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et hashamayim ve et haaretz et hayom eskol hashabam vayanach bayom hashvi. God created the world for 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Al ken, therefore, lizkor hadavar, to remind us of this thing, ra'ui lanu shenanuach b'makom echad. It's a little hard to understand what's going on. The words are clear. The concept is a little mysterious. Says the Chinuch, well, if the purpose of Shabbos is to remind us that God created the world, well then, presumably, you're more likely to focus on that if you don't go on a trip. On Shabbos, klomar, shelo neilech b'derech rachok, rak derech tiyul va'onek. Again, says the Chinuch, you don't have to sit at home all day, but you're not supposed to go on a trip. Ubahalichat shnei masam milin ein bo torach rav. He must have been in good shape. The Chinuch says, you know, walking 12 kilometers is not so taxing, right? But beyond it, might be. But I don't think he means it literally. I think if you put together the things we've been discussing, what the Chinuch says is, and I think it's an experience for us. If you take a walk in Efrat on Shabbos, it doesn't matter whether you walk back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Your awareness of Shabbos continues, right? Because you're not walking really to see the sights, to go sightseeing, to go someplace else. You're not going to a destination. You're home. So I think what he means to say is, if you're walking in Efrat, so then you know it's Shabbos. You can focus on the fact that it's Shabbos. You're just having a nice walk because it's enjoyable. But once you leave civilization, right, if you get farther out, and again, in their time, farther out meaning really meant, I think, you know, uninhabited places, by the way, which is pretty similar to what it is for us. He says, then you're going to be focused on where you're going and what you're seeing. And that might distract you from the main focus of Shabbos, which is that God created the world in 6 days. Okay, that's my take on the Chinuch. I think generally speaking, that's probably the explanation that's most given for Tchum Shabbos. Again, it's not that you're not allowed to walk far. It's that you're not supposed to lose your focus on the essence of Shabbos.
Ellie, it sort of belies that explanation belies the idea of being able to walk in a city like Nineveh 12 mil, because, you know, are you enhancing or not enhancing your appreciation of God's creation, you know, by walking in a city and getting distracted as opposed to walking in nature and, you know, really seeing Hashem's world? I mean, you can treat this either way.
So I'll say this. Of course, you're right. What I think is this is the limits of a halachic system, which is, let's face it, there's a 500 meter walk you could take that would distract you. You know, there's a 10,000 meter walk you could take that wouldn't distract you. I think it's systems of law, but you can't have a halachic system that says, well, you decide for yourself. You know, you need standardization. This isn't the only time we've seen it, and you know, you have no choice. A system of law needs standards, and it might work for me and it might not work for you. I think, you know, if you take a backpack and a walking stick and you change it to shorts and you walk from, you know, and you walk to El Azar, you walk to Alon Shfut on Shabbos. So technically speaking, right, it's mutter because there's an Ava around the whole area. But I think in that case, you'd say to yourself, right, you've lost the spirit of Shabbos. And, you know, David's raising a different issue, which is there are things that are mutter to do on Shabbos, but are wrong. And I think here the halacha is trying to establish a general rule that ought to work most of the time. But you're right, sometimes it doesn't work. And therefore you have to fill in the blanks by understanding that there's a spirit to Shabbos that if you take it seriously enough, you know, it's sort of like, you're probably not going to go to a basketball game, you know, before your brother's wedding. Aye, but it's going to end on. Yeah, but it undermines the importance of something. So everybody has to decide, you know, how important this is and how is it going to impact me? even though you're right. So the system says this is how far you could walk, but probably David's right that it makes sense to think about it in personal terms as well. Bruce.
Yeah, there's a Tanakh story that relates to traveling. The woman whose son dies from like sunstroke, she gets on a donkey and is about to leave to go visit the holy man, which is Eliyahu. Her husband says to her, where are you going to visit him? It's not Shabbat or Rosh Chodesh, as if to suggest on those days, it's okay to get into donkey and go from the Galil to the Carmel.
Nah, so I read it differently than you. I think the husband is a dope. And she says, you know, I'm going to go visit the Navi. And he's like, why would you visit the Navi? It's not a special occasion. I don't think it has anything to do with it. It's clearly a weekday.
No, but he specifically says it's not Shabbat or Rosh Chodesh today. Why are you going?
Now listen to what I'm saying. Because those are days on which people visit the Navi. So all he's saying 12, is, this is the same guy who doesn't know that his son just died.
Well, he sends him sick into his mother. I mean, she doesn't tell him.
And therefore, he doesn't know. Okay, we can discuss it later. I read the story.
The significance of the story is that she's able to travel quite a distance.
We'll leave it for another year. Okay, we have to finish. Now, let's come back to Tchum Shabbos. Even according to the Rambam, and this is interesting, even according to the Rambam, Tchum Shabbos is not an Isser Malacha. Right? Normally, we think to ourselves, what's biblically prohibited on Shabbos? The answer is 39 malachos. So it turns out it's not so simple. There are things that are prohibited on Shabbos that are not counted amongst the 39 malachos. How does this work? So the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, and it plays in a number of ways, says the Rambam, Shvisa bishvi'i mi malacha mitzvat aseh. The Rambam begins not with prohibitions, not with 39 Isurim. The Rambam begins with resting on Shabbos from Malacha is a mitzvah aseh. Shenemar uvayom ha-shvi'i tishbos. What's the flip side? V'chol ha-oseh bo Malacha, bitel mitzvat aseh, v'avar alo taseh. But if you do Malacha, so you're mevatel the mitzvah saseh of resting on Shabbos, and you're in violation of the lo taseh, shenemar, lo taseh kol melacha. Umahu chayav al asiyat melacha. Okay, so now, what are you chayav if you do melacha? So says the Rambam, imasa birtzano bizadon chayav kares. If you did it bemezid, you get kares. Bimhayu sham edim vahasra on niskal. But if there were Edim and they warned you, you get skila. Bimasa bishkaga, if you did it by accident, you didn't know it was a prohibition, or chayav karban chatos kivua. You have to bring a regular karban chatos. Chatos. Again, so three levels in the Rambam for a malacha. If there's witnesses, you get skila, you're killed. If there's no witnesses, you get kares. If you did it by accident, you have to bring a karban chatos. Halacha bet, kol makom shenema bilchot Shabbat she'oseh davar zeh chayav, harei zeh chayav kares, bimhayu sham edim hasra chayav skila, bimhaya shogeg chayav chatas. Okay, so the Rambam sort of repeats what he said in Halacha Av, just laying out the three levels of prohibition. Now, the Minchas Chinuch has a very interesting question, which a lot of people discuss. And that is, even according to the Rambam, that Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa, it's not a malacha. So is there a mitzvah saseh of Tishbos, and is there a violation of the, you know, if you took a walk outside of Tchum Shabbos, would you also be in violation of the mitzvah saseh of resting on Shabbos? So he says, Vihine, source number 9, Vihine, Lav zen nimna lav bifnei atzma, ve'eino bichlal, Lav de lo taseh kol malacha. Right? This is a standalone prohibition on Shabbos, Tchum Shabbos. It's not included in lo taseh kol malacha. De halav de malacha hu rak otan avot malachot shenimnu b'mishnah, shehayuba mishkan. Right, 39 malachos. Those are listed in the Mishnah and Shabbos. Those were malachos that were necessary to build the Mishkan. Tchum Shabbos is not mentioned. Va'alav de malacha b'mezid huskila, as we already learned. Right, if you do one of the malachos on Shabbos b'mezid on purpose, you get skila. V'kares v'shoge chatas. Okay, and you get kares if there's no witnesses, and b'shoge bring a chatas. Okay. V'halav zeh l'shita saram b'am tchum Shabbos v'chaveirav hu gzerat ha-katuv de'eino malacha. It's not one of the 39 malachas, it's just a gzeras ha-kasuv. Rak lav b'fnei atzma. Okay, so he says, for tchum Shabbos, since it's not one of the malachas, v'halav zeh lokin arba'im. Even the Rambam agrees that tchum Shabbos is not a prohibition for which you can be killed. It doesn't get you kares, it doesn't get you skila. It's like any other lota. It's like any other lotas in the Torah. It gets you makos. Okay. Okay. No kares, no skila, no chatos. Okay. Just makos. Vida. So he says as follows. Know the following. Da'af da'osem malacha b'shabbat chutz masha over alotase over gam kein ba'aseh de tishpos. If you water your grass on Shabbos, in addition to violating one of the 39 malachos, you're also violating the mitzvahs asay of resting on Shabbos. Okay. He says that's only if you do one of the 39 malachos. But he says if you walk outside of the tchum on Shabbos, that's not a violation of the mitzvahs asay ubayom ashvi tishpos. That's like, I don't know, that's like eating basar b'chalav. It's almost unrelated to Hilchos Shabbos. It happens to be an Isser on Shabbos, but it's an Isser on Shabbos that's different than Malacha, and therefore it's not a violation of Ubayom HaShvi'i Tishbos. Now, the problem with this is that, I don't think of sewing, I don't think of writing as being, such a malacha, such a difficult thing to do. I think a person could write on Shabbos and it wouldn't change Shabbos from being a day of rest. Nevertheless, if you write two letters on Shabbos, you have violated the mitzvah saseh of Ubayom Ashvi'i Tishpos. And if you walk 50 miles, if you run an ultra marathon on Shabbos, it's true, you did a lo taseh. You're in violation of Tchum Shabbos for the Rambam Min HaTorah, but it's not a Chiyuv Misa, and it's not a Malacha, right? How could that be? So it strikes me that what's really going on here is a fundamental definition of what a Malacha is and what are other prohibitions. It turns out that a Malacha is not really what we describe as a Malacha. A Malacha isn't work. A malacha is a creative act, a godlike act. So when you create something on Shabbos, when you cook, when you bake, when you help the ground grow, you're doing something that God does. And God said he rests on Shabbos, so you have to rest on Shabbos. But when you walk 50 miles, right, of course you're doing something terribly wrong, but it's not technically a violation of doing a malacha on Shabbos, because it's not a creative act. And that's why it's not part of the Lamites Malachos. Yes, says the Rambam, God told us in this week's parsha, he doesn't want us walking too far on Shabbos. But he didn't include that in the regular grouping of Shabbos prohibitions. He kept it separate. And therefore, while it's prohibited on Shabbos, it doesn't undermine the key element of Shabbos, which is, don't be creative, which is why, bizarrely, again, carrying your weights from the basement to the attic on Shabbos is perfectly fine, min haTorah. It's not a malacha. It's not a creative act, even though we would call it, very hard work. But writing two letters on Shabbos is, because that's considered to be creative. Okay, maybe this plays out in the major machlokas we've been discussing of whether Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa or Drabanan, it's not clear. Okay, I warned you at the beginning that this was going to be complicated. I'm sorry that it turned out that I was right. But let's just review. Psukim in this week's parsha deal with not collecting mun on Shabbos. Okay, one position is to say this has nothing to do with halachas of Hilchos Shabbos. This is limited to the Midbar, but it happens to be that Rabbanan saw here that God doesn't want us traveling on Shabbos, so they prohibited it. For the Rambam, no. The Psukim here really are talking about Tchum Shabbos. You're not allowed to walk 12 mil outside of the camp because that was the distance of the camp and the Midbar. And God's not just prohibiting it with respect to Mun. God is prohibiting it with respect to any purpose. Okay? Similarly, we discussed how it's never clear, or it's often not clear, what constitutes a biblical prohibition and what constitutes a rabbinic prohibition. And here it's really interesting to point out that the 39 malachos don't appear in the Torah at all. There is no pasuk that describes what the 39 malachos are. Nevertheless, everybody agrees that they're all midoraisa, presumably because the word malacha needs a definition. The Torah said, don't do malacha. The Torah doesn't want us to do malacha. Chazal then, al pi adrush, and based on many sources, said there are 39 things that constitutes malacha. This is based on, you know, the smichos aparshios between Shabbos and Mishkan. But either way, the line between Doraisas and Darabanas is often not as clear as we think they are. Halacha lemaisa, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, there is an Isvid Rabbanan to walk 2,000 amos outside of the city that you live in. You know, there are a bunch of technicalities, but accepted lahalacha is that it's not Doraisa. We paskin against the Rambam. It's Drabanan. And again, the whole philosophic idea of creativity on Shabbos and why Tchum Shabbos would be Asur, you know, only Midrabanan, but writing letters would be Asur Midoraisa when one seems so obviously more, you know, strenuous than the other. That has to do with the fact that Shabbos is not a din in expending energy. Shabbos is a din in imitating God and refraining from God-like activities. All right, we did our best to try to lay out the basic sources. Hopefully everybody could spend more time looking at this to clarify the things that I was unable to clarify.
Thank you, Willie. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.